Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, May the 2nd, and I hope you're having a wonderful day in the Lord. Amen. By the way, yesterday was Sister Sue Vincent's birthday, and hope that she did have a happy birthday yesterday. And then today is the anniversary of Brother Robert and Miss Sharon Dockery, and so I hope that they're having a happy anniversary today as they celebrate their wedding anniversary today, Monday, May the 22nd. And so I appreciate you tuning in today. Thank God for His goodness, grace, and mercy. And we're making this broadcast, getting it ready for the radio. Hope you've had a good day thus far. Your week started out real well. Thank God for the house of God, being able to be in the house of God yesterday, the morning and the evening services. I praise God for His goodness and His blessings. And I thank Him for allowing us to be able to be here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. I've been gone a little while. I missed last Sunday as we were in Kansas. Had a good time there in Kansas, but nothing like being home. Thank God for it. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to get a song, and then we're going to bring a message from the Word of God. All right, so if you will, I've got a few things by way of prayer requests. Would like for you to keep Brother Richard Owen in your prayers, and my understanding he's doing well. Thank God so far that he is. And then Brother Kevin Franklin, our friend out there in Kansas that's got bladder cancer, want you to keep him in your prayers. God's blessing and helping him, and want to keep praying for him. And then keep praying for my wife for strength and health. And also, by the way, special meeting going on this week through Wednesday down in Benton, Kentucky. Took me a minute to think of the name of the town. Benton, Kentucky, or Fair Dealing, Kentucky. It's down between here and the Paris, Tennessee area. But nonetheless, Brother Larry Logston is the good pastor there at the New Testament Independent Baptist Church there in Fair Dealing, and they've got a special meeting going on all day today. Started about 2 o'clock today, and then going to be going through the night tonight, and then tomorrow all day, starting up I think about 9 o'clock in the morning. And Lord willing, we're going to be there in the morning at 9 o'clock, trying our best to be there and be there all day tomorrow and in the night. And then the morning service on Wednesday, we'll be there as well. And then coming back here for our Wednesday night service. And by the way, I do have a special guest going to be with us on this Wednesday night, Brother Jamie Brunson from down in Oklahoma or Louisiana. He's from Louisiana. He'll be with us and be preaching for us on Wednesday night here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. He's been a blessing to me every time I've heard him, as I've heard him a number of times in a camp meeting down in Mississippi. And the reason I misspoke and said that he was from Oklahoma a moment ago was because that Brother Brunson travels with some people that are from Oklahoma when they come into that meeting, and they're a real blessing. But Brother Brunson has been a real blessing to me every time I've ever heard him preach, and looking forward to having him here on this Wednesday. He's down in Brother Logston's meeting these days, and so there's a good time to have him in, and I just ask him if I could borrow him and use him on Wednesday night in our services. But I appreciate you tuning in today on this second day of May, and so hope you'll come and visit with us on Wednesday, and hope you'll stay tuned to the broadcast today, and that it'll be a blessing. All right, I mentioned these things, prayer requests, pray for the meeting, pray that God would bless it. Do keep Brother and Sister Hall in your prayers, and I think Brother Hall may be planning on going down tomorrow as well in that meeting. Brother Bell may get to stop in on it. That'll be a blessing. Have these men have an opportunity to preach and be in preaching. What a blessing. I mean, it is, and I thank God for it. And so I want you to keep these things in prayer, if you will. I also have some unspoken requests, some needs that I know about, some young people that they need to turn to God instead of living for the flesh and the world and all those things. So I want you to keep that in prayer as well, if you will. Let's call on the Lord together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness again, for your grace in our life. Lord, you've been so good. We are grateful for your goodness. Now we're in the fifth month of this year already, 2016, and Lord, your grace has been extended over and over and over again. I remember what the scripture said, that your mercies are new each morning. And Father, I think about how many new mercies you've placed in our own life and in the life of thy people. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you still love sinners enough that you gave your son that they could be saved. You're still loving sinners enough that you're drawing them after all this time of their turning a deaf ear to your cries and your calls. After all this time of them disrespecting and disregarding the blood of thy own dear son. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy. I pray, Father, that you would just bless now in these needs and this broadcast, Lord, that you might draw sinners under Holy Ghost conviction, bring them to a place of recognition of their need. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring them to a place of recognition of the great offer that has been offered unto them in salvation through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd cause sinners to repent and believe the gospel and be saved by the good grace of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help the saints of God to be revived, to be strengthened, to be zealous for thy name's sake and for thy glory. Father, I pray awaken us from the stupor of worldliness that we're engulfed in and help us to open our eyes and our minds and our recognition to what's going on around us and how we need to be living for God right now. Right now, we need to be living for thee. Father, I pray, help us now. Help in these numbers of requests that I mentioned. Several unspoken requests that I'm praying for situations. These young people that I mentioned. Lord, would you turn them in a way that's right before they wreck their own life. I'm thinking of a boy and a girl that was raised in a godly home. Dad preached and told them the right way. Mom loved and pointed them in the right way. And yet, in their own rebellion and stubbornness, they've decided to go a different way. Father, I pray that you would turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Father, I pray now that you would help these other requests. Help Brother Owen, strengthen him and bless him. Help Brother Franklin. Thank you for the money that was raised to help him. Lord, I pray that you would continue to touch his body and his mind and his ministry and use him for thy glory and thy name's sake. Strengthen Brother Hall and Mrs. Hall, I pray. Father, I pray you bless the meeting down there at Benton, Kentucky, in Fairdale, in Kentucky. Would you bless in that? Bless Brother Logston and his church there, New Testament Baptist Church. Lord, would you help them, strengthen them? And Father, I pray that you would meet with us and get the glory. Now, I pray, Lord, use the broadcast today and use the services on Wednesday for thy name's sake. We ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, if you'd like to be looking in the Scriptures, today's text is going to be taken in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7, and Titus chapter number 1, verse number 8. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 8 is going to be our text for today. And while you find your place, we'll listen to this good song by our family that I trust to be a blessing. And then we'll be back with a message from the Word of God. All right, I trust that song was a blessing to your heart. The Scarlet Purple Robe. The title of that song, we just call it The Purple Robe. But I thank the Lord that it was stained with His precious blood. Amen. Well, as I said, we're looking in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Titus chapter 1 verse 8, "But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate." Now, you know, if you're familiar with Scripture, that these verses that I've read to you are what we call the qualifications of a pastor or a bishop. And, of course, the bishopric of the New Testament has nothing to do with being a bishop like the Roman Catholic Church has organized or the Protestant religion has organized. The New Testament bishop is the same as a pastor. The bishop is a pastor, a preacher, an elder, a shepherd, all those things are the same root word. And so we're talking about the pastor, qualifications of a pastor. I'm trying to expand this beyond just a pastor, but anybody that wants to be a leader, anybody that wants to have characteristics of godly leadership ought to have these or work on having these characteristics. There are 20 in all that I've chosen out of 1 Timothy and out of Titus. 20 in all. And we've looked at 16 already today. We're going to the 17th. Let me real quickly run over those 16 we've looked at. We talked about spiritual maturity. We talked about a good reputation. Number 3, moral purity. Number 4, vigilance. Number 5, prudence, which is wise and humble. Number 6, respectable. Number 7, hospitable. Number 8, apt to teach. It just means he is able and ready to teach. Number 9, not given to wine. Number 10, not self-willed. Number 11, not soon angry. Number 12, not pugnacious. And we get that from the scripture calling him not a striker. But some people think striking means missing. It's not, it's talking about aiming and hitting. All right. Not pugnacious. He's not a fighter. And then number 13, gentle. We get that from not a brawler. Number 14, patient. Number 15, not materialistic. The Bible says not greedy of filthy lucre. And number 16 that we preached on last week, one that manages his own household well. Now for our message today, I'd like to look at characteristic number 17 to which a godly leader should aspire. This is what I call loving that which is good, loving God wholeheartedly, and loving God's men. Loving that which is good. 1 Timothy 3:7, moreover, he must be of a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the snare of the devil. That phrase, he must have a good report of them which are without. And then Titus, he calls him a lover of good men. Amen. Now, many of the characteristics which we've studied up to this point have dealt with negative characteristics, things he should not be. Now we're moving on in this avenue of things that he or she is for, not against, but for. And let's look at how the Apostle Paul explains these, all right? He says, 1 Timothy 3:7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Titus 1:8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. I want to focus in on, he must have a good report of them which are without, and then he must be a lover of good men. I believe that in 1 Timothy, that statement about having a good report of them which are without, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is teaching that a man who desires to be a godly leader should be one who is not infatuated with wicked things. He should not be one who is infatuated with worldly things. He should not be involved in things that are questionable, nor involved in things which are confusing to sinners or saints. In other words, he should have a good reputation and a good testimony, even to those who have never set foot inside the four walls of the church building. Would you say amen right there? I say amen. I'll say it again. He should have a good reputation and a good testimony, even of those who have never set foot inside the four walls of the church building. Amen. Then in Titus 1:8, the apostle, again, uses a slightly different approach and says that the man who desires to be a godly leader must love others who are godly. Amen. He must love others who are godly. He's not a lone ranger. Amen. He helps and loves others. Amen. Now, so having said that, I need to mention 3 points that we're going to be looking at this week on the broadcast. First of all, I want to talk about the love of that which is wrong, and we'll deal with that, how that shouldn't be. And then the love of that which is right. And then thirdly, the love of righteousness. Amen. The love of, not of righteousness, but the love of the righteous. All right? The love of that which is wrong, we'll look at that. The love of that which is right. And then the love of the righteous. Now, as we look at this point, I want to talk about our contrast of loves. I'll talk about a correct love, and I'll talk about a continuing love, all right? First of all, the contrast of loves, the love of that which is wrong. You see that? There are some people in our world that seem to love only those things that are wrong. However, the one who would aspire to be a godly leader must not love those things that are wrong, must rather be against those things. Now, let's look briefly at some of the things that the godly leader has already been instructed to be against. First of all, he is to be against ungodly living because he's called blameless. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, and Titus 1, 6, he's to be blameless. He's against ungodly living. Number 2, he's to be against divorce, polygamy, and adultery because he is said to be the husband of one wife. 1 Timothy 3, 2, Titus 1:6. He's against ungodly living. He's against divorce, polygamy, and adultery. Number 3, he is to be against instability because he is said to be vigilant. 1 Timothy 3:2. He is to be against selfishness because he is said to be given to hospitality in 1 Timothy 3:2 and a lover of hospitality in Titus 1:8. Number 5, he is to be against alcoholism and drug abuse because he is said to be not given to wine. 1 Timothy 3:3. Titus 1:7. He is also to be against stubbornness and rebellion. That's number 6. Against stubbornness and rebellion, because he is said to be not self-willed, Titus 1:7. He is, number seven, to be against excessive anger, hot-headedness, and brutality, because he is said to be no striker, not a brawler, and not soon angry, 1 Timothy 3:3 and Titus 1:7. He is to be against greed, because he is said to be not greedy of filthy lucre, that's number eight. He is to be against undisciplined children and an unruly home, because he is said to be having faithful children, not accused of right and unruly, Titus 1:6. He is to be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, 1 Timothy 3:4. Amen. So he's against something. He's against ungodly living. He's against divorce, polygamy, adultery. He's against selfishness, instability, alcoholism, drug abuse, stubbornness, rebellion, excessive anger, hot-headedness, brutality, greed, and undisciplined and unruly children and home. Amen. So the Apostle Paul warned Timothy that in these last days there would be those who love wrong things and who hated those things which were right. Look, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be, underline this phrase, lovers of their own selves. Covetous, that means they love money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, look at this phrase, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, look at this phrase, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, I'd like to look at these briefly in the time I've got left and make a few notes about the love of things that are wrong. I just read to you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Look at verse 2 with me a moment. There's a phrase in verse number 2 that says that in the last days these men will be lovers of their own selves. That's Strong's number 5367. And the Greek word there is the word philotos. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Philotos. Which simply means to be fond of self or selfish. Now, friend, I could preach all day and half the night on the fact that we're living in a selfish generation. You know why many men and women cannot stay together in holy bonds of matrimony? Because they're not in it together. They're in it for self. They are selfish. Amen. They're not trying to work things out. They're not going to work things out. They're not willing to work things out. They're selfish. Do you know why so many people, they're not willing to get united with the church and stay in fellowship with people in the church? You know why? Because they're not in it for the group. They're not in it for each other. They're not there exhorting one another. Oh, no. They're there for self. Selfish. They love their own selves. Amen. But let's move on. Verse number 2 also uses the word covetous. Strong's number 5366, very close to that word, and it's the word philargyros. And again, I don't know how to speak Greek, but I'm just giving you the words. And it simply means fond of silver or money, and that is avaricious. Loving money, covetous. By the way, that goes along with selfish as well. Then number 3, in verse 3, there's a phrase, despisers of those that are good. Now, isn't that something? They love the wrong thing, and it causes them to hate the right thing. Amen. Strong's number 865. I ain't even going to try to pronounce this Greek word, but it means not fond of virtue or hostile to virtue. Isn't it amazing? Hostile to virtue. They hate anything that's good, and they're against anything that's good, but they're for anything that's evil. Thayer's Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament defines it as, quote, opposed to goodness and good men. Then there's the last phrase in verse number 4 that says, lovers of pleasures. That's Strong's number 5369. And it simply means fond of pleasure, that is, voluptuous. They love pleasure. Amen. Again, that goes back to being covetous and selfish. Amen. Now, my reason for pointing these things out is to show that it is possible to be in love with the wrong things. But God has warned us that those who wish to be godly leaders must avoid falling in love with wrong things. Now, how do you keep from doing that? You make sure you stoke your love and work on a love for those things that are right. And when you fall in love with the Word of God and fall in love with the things that are right, you'll fall out of love with the world. The more you love Jesus, the less you'll love the world. Thank you for listening.